We continue in our series of abiding in Christmas. As we've looked at different individuals today, an opportunity to study Mary and look at her. We had a chance to see a relative of hers last week, Zechariah. And we've learned a little bit about Zechariah, we've learned about Simeon, we've understood some of the things that go into abiding. And so seeing Mary and the journey that she goes on is pretty amazing. I want you to be able to see how there is a journey, a transition that takes place. Matter of fact, in verse 26, where we're going to begin, I'm not going to be putting up all the scripture, so again, I want to encourage opening up your Bibles or turning those devices on, because there's going to be an opportunity for you to, I want you to look at the bigger picture as I just put a few of them out, but I want you to see something that just really, you know, this beginning moment in Mary's life, I just know there was a real anxiousness that took place in Mary. And so as we look at this, starting at verse 26, it's now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. So we know that there's reference to what has already happened. You remember, what it's reminding us is that Gabriel had already visited about 6 months ago and had paid a visit to Zechariah and Elizabeth. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. In the language of this, we know that the way he spoke, it's almost like she's saying, "Who are you and where are you from?" There was something different about the vocabulary, the tone, the intonation. It was like this was so unusual. That was the point of what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God." Now, we know that at this moment, it's clear she was troubled and the angel observed fear in her. She was anxious. Who wouldn't be at this moment realizing that, I mean, this is a teenage girl who is now being visited by an angelic being who, I mean, I can only imagine what it would look like. I mean, it's hard, but, the brilliance of it, we know angels were, like, really cool. And so, but they were so cool, they were a little scary. They were scary cool. And so here, I mean, you've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's obvious that the angel saw in her this fear. He says, "You found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus." I don't know about you, but if you're a teenage girl hearing those words, your brain just froze. You're thinking, "What was that?" And he goes on, "He'll be great. He'll become the son of the highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So I want you to see Mary as this young girl struggling and feeling a lot of anxiety. Here God is bringing a word to her. Here is the Lord speaking into her life about her future, the direction she's going. She's hearing. And we've often said, "I want to hear from God." Well, she's just heard from the Lord. And in hearing, there is, and the scripture in some translations correctly say, she was greatly troubled. Now, there is a difference between her response and Zechariah. Remember, Zechariah had a visit from an angel while he was offering incense, and he was just like, "I mean, this is impossible. What do you mean my wife is going to be pregnant? How could this take place?" He had a lot of doubt. Mary, on the other hand, had a lot of submission. And so I want you to see that there is a difference in their responses. So Mary didn't have doubt, but just because you don't have doubt doesn't mean you aren't afraid. Just because she was really nervous and uncertain of this moment of what's going on doesn't mean that she wasn't ready to submit, but she was anxious, she was scared, because these words were unbelievable. I mean, she did declare, "I am the Lord's servant." There's a lot of things she could have said, but she obviously said something. And you got to think of the reality of this. This is, and we know, most likely a teenager, obviously engaged but not married, now about to be pregnant. Now, we know the Word of God is very clear. Sex is for marriage. And so we reserve that activity between a man and a woman for marriage. And then that activity also brings about procreation, life. So here, all of a sudden, there's this word that says, you're going to do the thing that you might expect, but it's going to be not by your future husband, Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, the minute this is going on, some of these words were familiar, and Mary grew up hearing the words of the Old Testament and hearing about the possibility of a Messiah. And so there was a little bit of a connection going on right there. And obviously the power of God was at work here. But she's still a young girl. She's a human being. And she's hearing a very frightening kind of word here, because especially at that time, if she was found out to be pregnant, she could be killed. Matter of fact, she could be stoned. And, or at the very least, she would be rejected and isolated. I mean, there was a huge penalty to be paid for her becoming pregnant by anyone else other than Joseph, who she was betrothed to. And so here this angel is saying, you're going to be pregnant. I mean, how do you go talk to mom and dad? I mean, what do you say? You got to realize, Mary's been planning her wedding. She had a nice, normal life that God just blew up. God does that sometimes, have you noticed? You're living life thinking, I just like, it's comfortable, it's nice. Mary was so excited. I mean, I would imagine, man, I can't wait. I'm engaged. I got a lot of planning. Some of you have seen Yes to the Dress. We know what happens just before a wedding. And all the excitement that's taking place, all the conversations and everything that's getting ready. And all of a sudden, God shows up in the midst of all this wonderful stuff and says, let me blow up your dream here of the house and the picket fence and the being married to Joseph and all the things that you might have thought that you were looking forward to. And now it's all going to change. You're going to become pregnant and you're going to really hurt the people around you. You're going to conceive a child, and you're going to go and talk to your mom and your dad. You're going to go talk to your fiance, and they're going to be crushed by the news you're about to share with them. Now, it wasn't said that way, but we know that happened. I mean, look at Joseph's response. He had to have a dream and an angel visit him to get him to slow down, because he had already decided, remember we read that, he was going to put her away. In other words, he was going to dismiss her, and if you will, being engaged was like being married at this time, so he basically was going to divorce her and send her away. I can just imagine Mary trying to talk to Joseph and saying, I'm sorry, I'm pregnant. Well, who's the dad? The Holy Spirit. No, really, Mary, who's the father here? I mean, what's going on? No, really, an angel came and told me that Holy Spirit would conceive a child in me. And yeah, my mom and dad didn't believe me either. I mean, connect with the human. And at this point, Mary is not having fun. Anxiety is no fun. I've talked to a lot of people. We live in an anxious world. All you have to do is listen to the news for about 10 minutes. If you don't have anxiety, turn on the news about 5 o'clock, and by 5:30, you should be anxious. I mean, you think of everything that's going on. We live in a time. I've talked to so many people that, man, it's overwhelming. I mean, the thought of Christmas 10 days away. Although I've always appreciated, I learned from, a lot of you might remember Pastor Jess, and he really mentored me in Christmas. He taught me that the best way to do Christmas is to wait till the 24th to buy your gifts. No, really, because, you know, I learned that, because when you go to the stores on the 24th, you only have one choice. One, and it's just, they don't have to worry about colors or style. That's all, you got one thing left, you buy it, and then you, makes life easy. Anxious free. Well, when things don't fit into your dreams, when your plans for life don't work out the way that you thought they would, I mean, some of us here today are greatly troubled because what's befallen you was not expected. You didn't think that you would be where you are today. You couldn't have imagined that things would be what they are in terms of your health or your job or your family. And you become, and you would say, yeah, Mary, you and I, greatly troubled. And the reaction to the plans that seem to be unfolding as God, I guess you might say, is directing. Now you feel not only overwhelmed, but you can be irritated, you're angry, you're kind of shocked, you're impatient, you're abrupt. And all this is because anxiousness starts kind of getting in front. The fact is, a lot of us are living life, and we had no idea we'd be living life this way. See, you have no idea what's going to happen 5 years from now. You can make all the plans you want, but who knows what God's going to do? And God shows him and says, I know you are going this direction, but I want you to turn left now. And we're like Mary going, wow, really? See, God gave us some instruction about worry and anxiety. This isn't easy. I mean, it's easy to say it, but it's a little bit hard to live it. In Matthew 6:34, he said, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. This is the secret to overcoming anxiety. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Let me say it again. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. See, Jesus is telling us the way to overcome anxiety is to live in the present and to not live for the future. The mistake we make is we think too far ahead and try to live that far ahead, and the result is anxiousness. God says, live right now. Doesn't mean you don't make plans. I'm not saying you don't have retirement plans and all, you know, kind of those kinds of things. But what you do is you might establish, then you let it go, and then you stay focused right now on today. That's the hard part. Not getting too far ahead of yourself. But that can be difficult because you didn't plan on the financial trouble. You didn't plan on the special needs child. You didn't plan on losing your husband or your wife or your father at this soon. You didn't plan on your family moving away. You didn't plan on getting sick. You didn't, and on it goes. God has a plan for us. I don't know what would have happened if God came to me when I was, you know, a young teenage guy, 13, 14, said, you're going to be a pastor and you're going to Kitsap County. Highly favored one. Oh, let it be unto me. I'd say, are you nuts? And where is that, right? I mean, I could see the anxiety coming up and what do you do? Well, so here's what Mary does. Here's what some of us do. Okay, we take a deep breath, we take the next step, and then we go to accepting. Okay, God, You know, I'm a little nervous about this, but now I can accept this. Look what Mary says, verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed. Now, I don't see her doing somersaults here, but I hear her accepting the word. Can you just imagine for a moment that, okay, she's had this amazing conversation, her and the angel. And we just read, the angel departed from her. And here is the next moment. She's all by herself. The angel is gone. There's no one in the room with her. And it's dead quiet. And her mind is going a mile an hour. What just happened? What am I going to do? And I'm convinced that she went back and forth at this point. A little anxiousness. No, I'm going to accept this. This boy, this was an angel. But this wasn't the kind of thing that often we attribute to Mary, because we've elevated her in certain denominations far above and beyond where she should have been. I want you to see Mary as a human being who's a teenage girl who's just been told something unbelievable. Mary is not someone to be worshipped. Mary is not someone that you pray to. Mary is someone that we certainly can, like other individuals in God's Word, we can honor them and appreciate what they did. But she's not God. She's not anywhere close to the same place that Jesus has in our life. And realizing that humanity, it even makes it more powerful, realizing the acceptance that she has. "Let it be to me according to your word." She committed herself to facing whatever would come by being obedient and submitted, even though she knew she would face ridicule, she would face disgrace, and she would have to deal with carrying a baby whose father has no name. I want you to understand, acceptance, though, is not resignation to a situation, but receiving God's peace and trusting God for His will. Can you say amen to that? The church makes a mistake, and I see a lot of people resigning themselves to life. That's not what we're talking about. Accepting is not resignation like, "Oh, well, these are the deck of cards I've been dealt with. This is my hand. What can I do? You know, what good does it do to complain?" That's not what we're talking about. Acceptance here is coming to terms. Yes, it's difficult, but there's the peace of God. Again, Jesus talks to us about this. In John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." And I mean, could you just see this conversation with Mary? "Mary, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The very words that were assigned to her, the descriptors of, she was troubled, she was afraid. And the God has spoken to her and brought to her the peace. He says, "I give you this amazing peace. My peace I give to you." That's what acceptance does. It brings peace. And I believe God invites us to come to that place of receiving His peace. Again, accepting God's will in our life, the circumstances that we face, they may be difficult and they may be challenging. I know. You know, some of us struggle with this. You know, this is what's happened. This is what's taken place. And there's nothing easy about it. But when you accept and understand it is the Lord, and He will give you the strength to endure, He will help you walk through this, you trust Him, then here is what happens, an amazing gift of peace. That peace is awesome. It's the peace that helps you sleep at night. It's the peace that helps you get up and look forward still to the day ahead, even though it may not be easy. It's the peace that helped Mary talk to her family and speak into Joseph's life. It was the peace of God that helped her in submission and obedience to accept what God is doing. Because there are times when God's going to call you to go, and it may not be easy. It may not be the journey you wanted. It doesn't mean it wasn't God, though. I have no doubt this was not Mary's dream. This was not Mary's hope for her life. She had far different plans. What do we do when God calls and says, I'm changing the direction of your life. Go. Unfortunately, I think a lot of us are like the prophet Jonah. I like Jonah, right? I mean, it kind of nails it right there. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked the people are. Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. I mean, I just can imagine, right? Oh, my dream. My hope in life is to go to Nineveh and walk into the gates and tell everyone they're going to hell. Wow, what a great life that would be. Man, my dream coming true. I get to go proclaim the word of God to a bunch of heathens. Can't wait to do that. And there are times when God's going to speak something to you that may not be what you want, may not be the most comfortable path. Now, you can be like Jonah. I mean, you know the story, right? You can go the other way, and God brings a storm in, and then someone throws you into the water, and a big fish will swallow you. And then you'll sit there for 3 days thinking about it, and then you get vomited up on the shore. Can you say amen to that? You know, it's kind of amazing when the angel showed Mary that her willingness to carry this baby, not conceived by Joseph, would be God's greatest plan ever. Wow. And Mary was willing to go along with it. She was willing to take that step. And I believe it began for her a journey to abiding. From anxiousness to acceptance to abiding. That's where we want to be. Now, we know from the scripture that this took place because Mary arose, verse 39, in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah to enter the house of Zacharias and greeted Mary. Now, I'm not sure what all had happened, but sometimes, you know, the best thing to do is just get out of town. Sometimes the best thing to do is to get out of the environment and go see somebody else. And the angel told her, see, Elizabeth and Zacharias, she knew them. They were related. You know, Aunt Elizabeth and Uncle Zach. And they were like the cool people of the family. And now the cool older people pregnant in the family. And so, I mean, really, because you got to realize, we know from the Bible that Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were devout people. They were mature. They walked with God. They were an amazing couple, but a little bit sad because they didn't have children. But now Elizabeth is pregnant. And so Mary decides to go visit her relative. And I would imagine mom and dad saying, no, I think that'd be a good idea for you to go someplace else right now. Now, going someplace else, this wasn't like driving 20 minutes, you know, from Silverdale to Port Orchard or something like that. I want you to understand, this was over a three-day journey. She's going through, this was a dangerous little walk that she would take and leave. And I thought it was very powerful that it was 3 days. 3 days to talk to the Lord. 3 days to listen to the voice of God. Let me tell you something. Your life will change when you spend time with God. I've been asked a lot, what's wrong? Why aren't things changing? Why isn't this happening? I have an answer for you. You're not spending enough time with Jesus. This isn't going to happen because you sit here for 45 minutes. This isn't going to happen because you and I just go to church. It happens because you actually spend real time with Jesus. This happens because you and I spend time hearing the Word. And I see Mary taking off and having 3 days to process, to hear from God, to talk to the Lord. Let me tell you something. There is huge value in getting time alone with God. And most of us here have not done that. I am not talking about just an hour here and there or 15 minutes here and there, but an extended time hearing, listening, hanging out with the most important person of your life. And how many times have I heard there just isn't time? Well, then maybe that's why things are the way they are. So, Mary's had a lot of conversations. I would imagine this was a good 3 days for her. And she travels, and it happened that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." I am convinced that was cold water on a flame right now burning inside to quench the thirst of Mary. I am convinced that the moment those were the first positive things Mary heard. She heard a lot of things from mom and dad and Joseph and other friends and family. And she walks into Elizabeth, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." Wow, finally someone saying something positive. "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfilled it. Will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Huh. Instead of condemnation, instead of shame, instead of guilt, instead of anxiousness, Elizabeth declares, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you bear." I mean, what would you say to your child, mom and dad? "Are you kidding me? You're what? By who?" I mean, can you imagine what was going on, even though God was in the middle of it? And then you walk into Aunt Elizabeth, who was like a cool person. And remember, Elizabeth was like mom. Elizabeth was not a peer. This was not like two young girls talking. We're talking, looking up to Elizabeth and Zachariah like mom and dad right now. I mean, these are really people that were admired in her family. And here is someone who's an authority looking at her and saying, "Blessed are you." Sometimes we're just waiting to hear those words. Sometimes we forget to even say some of those words and realize what could happen. And suddenly, Mary, I believe, got it, and she began to sing. Look at what she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. It was like the cork got lifted, and all of a sudden came bursting out was adoration and joy. Oh, my soul magnifies. I rejoice with you, Lord. Because she went from anxiousness to acceptance to abiding. See, that's what abiding looks like. In the midst of all of these things, you make an intentional choice to magnify the Lord. You make an intentional choice to rejoice. See, here's the mistake a lot of us make. And a lot of us kind of assume, well, somehow this just poured out of Mary like without any effort or work. I want you to understand the very words and vocabulary tells us, because the language is being used here, this is an intentional, continuous act. This is a choosing to rejoice. You choose to rejoice. You choose to magnify. You choose to abide. It doesn't just happen because you happen to sit in the right chair in church. Oh, there are some chairs better than others. Can you say amen to that? I believe somehow we live that way. If I just go to the right service, to the right church, to the right, sit in the right chair, it all's going to happen for me. And thank God I don't have to do a thing except show up. And that is so not anything of God's word. You choose. You intentionally make a choice, and then you abide. Is it easy? Not all the time. Because this doesn't mean that things are going to be smooth. It wasn't smooth for Mary or for Joseph. But in the midst of the burden she would carry, she would come to the place of singing praise to God. I love when those moments happen in life. I love it that we can come to those places and make those choices. See, when you spend time in the Word, it changes your life. I've made available this journal. I'm so excited about the opportunity. I'm totally convinced that if us as a congregation spend every day, I mean, it would take maybe 15 minutes a day to do this, but if all of us chose to do this, we would have a changed, transformed congregation. You know, I gave this to my volunteers just as a gift. And, you know, shared with them the word that, okay, we'll start this in January. Unfortunately, some of them have been disobedient and already started. People just don't listen. No, I'm kidding. That's okay. I'm so happy that they're started. And I had an email from somebody who has started and said, I started, it doesn't say this, but in disobedience to what you asked us, Pastor, the New Testament Journal. I finished up to Matthew chapter 10. And already God has done amazing changes in my life. My husband was looking at me and asked, have you done something different to your face? You look different. Now, he said the right thing. You're still beautiful. But there's something different. This is the best makeup you could ever have. This is the best cosmetic surgery that can take place. And all it takes you is a few minutes in the Word of God. And your face, it'll light up. Because the Word of God transforms you. The Word of God, the Spirit of God changes you. And this is what happens in Mary's life. She changes and she declares something. She brings out just exactly who God is. And she declares that as she would magnify it, that she declares these things in the next slide. She declares, next slide, that it is He who is mighty, holy. He has helped His servant Israel. His mercy. She declares these unbelievable qualities and characteristics of God. How do you get to this place where you can see this and know this? By abiding in the Lord. And it all comes down to something really very simple. You come from anxiety to acceptance to abiding by trusting and loving God. Some of you, I know you're not going to necessarily get this, but I want you to think about this. You've walked with God for a while, and I'm so appreciative of that, but you still don't really trust God. There is something that is given by choice here, that we come to this place. You know how I know this? Because I had to learn this. You know, I realized that there are things in my life that I really don't totally trust God. Like, God, is this really going to be okay? I think I should, you know, work extra hard here to make sure it's okay. That's not trusting God. Now, it does involve a lot of the other things because in order to come to that place, here's what I figured out. You actually got to read the Word of God regularly. You have to be involved in good, healthy fellowship regularly. You can't live all by yourself in some isolation. Because I've had people say, okay, I'll do this. And they live this isolated, alone, crazy life. And then things blow up and they come crawling. Well, I tried it and it certainly didn't work very well for me. And I'm going, well, of course not. Because you didn't do it the way God's talked to us. You tried to do it all by yourself. You weren't in the Word. You weren't interacting with other people. You just did what you wanted to do. You just kind of put a different, you know, kind of a different slant on it. Trusting and loving God, that's huge. And yes, you're still going to go through emotional struggles. Yes, you're still going to deal with maybe some of the feelings like, God, why are we going down this path? Why are we doing this? What is happening? But here's what the Word of God tells us in Isaiah. He says, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. Never. Wow. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And the psalmist wrote, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. And he says 26 times, repeat something 26 times, His faithful love endures forever. Now, when the Word of God repeats itself even once, that's a big deal. But when the Word repeats itself 26 times, and this is just in one psalm, I think God's trying to tell us something. Acceptance to abiding. Where are you? I'm going to challenge you. Go to the next level. But you can't go to the next level unless you choose to go to the next level. A lot of the church lives in the world of accepting. And they sort of just settled there. But there's more. There's abiding. And when you abide, there's joy. There's a song. There is something that is far more than what we have right now. But it's like Mary. You intentionally choose to magnify and rejoice in the Lord our God. And when you do, you abide. Christmas is abiding in Jesus. Can you imagine how different it would be? I had a moment the other day with my staff. It was the best moment. We gathered to have Christmas and do stuff. We did this crazy thing. We worshiped God. And we prayed. And this amazing, for me, refreshing moment took place that was better than anything else that could have ever happened. As great as the dinner was, as great as the conversation was, as great as all the fun we had was, that moment for me, I will never forget. Being in that room with my team, abiding in Christ together. I can go another day with that. But we made the choice to do that. I invite you to make the choice to abide in Jesus and let Him abide in you. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You would work in us. Lord, You said You would be with us. Your very name, Emmanuel, reminds us, God with us. I pray for a miracle. I ask You, God, that something could happen. That we here today would make this intentional choice to abide in You, to magnify You, to work, to allow ourselves to move and not be stuck. I pray for that amazing moment of abiding in You. Lord, I believe healing would happen. I believe that gift of peace would come on every one of us. Lord, thank You that no one needs to be left out. Lord, I pray for some of us that are going through really deep waters. It's hard. It's hard, Lord, that things aren't kind of working the way we thought they would. A little frustrating. But help us, God. Help us to kind of be like Mary right now. To carry the burden, but to rejoice in You. To walk the journey, but to magnify You. Your love is so powerful. It never fails. It never gives up. Help us to trust You. I invite you, with your heads bowed, to trust in Jesus. To hear His words that He spoke. Trust also in Me. There's no other way. He told us He is the only way. He is the only truth. Trust in Him. Abide in Him. Love Him. And let Him love you.